Welcome to Results by Design, UX Insights for Business Leaders, the podcast that dives deep into the world of UX design, strategy, and insights. Tune in, take action, and design your way to success.
Hi, I'm Craig.
And I'm Michael, and we are your hosts for the Results by Design podcast. Hey, Craig, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's starting to be spring here. The cherry blossoms and the plum blossoms and the apple blossoms are out. It's a pretty time.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm just excited. We have a couple days till spring break. Get to spend some time with the family. I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, it'll be nice to take a little time off.
Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today?
A few episodes ago, you and Deborah talked about changes in today's B2B buyer journey. And these changes in the buyer journey and buyer behavior directly impact a company's B2B website strategy. So I thought it would be interesting to talk with you about the elements that make up an effective B2B website strategy from a UX perspective. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do this.
Okay. I thought I'd frame it by this. If you were to Google or ask ChatGPT, what are the elements of an effective B2B website strategy? You get a definition and then a list of elements that make up a web strategy that sounds something like this. And I printed one off. And it says, an effective web strategy encompasses various elements that work together to achieve specific goals, whether they are related to branding, marketing, sales, or customer engagement. Here are key elements to consider when developing a comprehensive web strategy. And then there's usually a list of, 10 to 15 things that encompass, business goals and objectives, target audience analysis, user experience design, content strategy, SEO, technical performance metrics and analytics, security and compliance, accessibility, social media, marketing integration, etc. And by addressing these components, a website strategy can create a strong foundation for a digital presence that effectively serves its intended audience, meets business objectives, and adapts to the evolving digital landscape. So pretty standard playbook. But in my mind, or in our minds, what separates an effective web strategy from the standard playbook is digging deeper into four areas that lay the groundwork for the other 6 to 7 elements. And to think about it in this way, to ground the strategy, you need to have clarity on business goals and objectives and the target personas and buyer journeys. And then to cast that vision, you need to define the UX strategy and the web content strategy. So, Mike, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, grounding the strategy and casting the vision. I like how you frame those. We've been doing a lot of work around these four that you just named, which I really think have contributed to our clients' overall web strategy and success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Both are equally important. So if the strategy is not grounded, it's not defensible. And if the vision isn't cast, you don't get buy-in at all levels. And then the initiative tends to lose momentum and energy because people don't remember what they are, the reason they're working on this, over time, unless that vision is strong. So I'd love to ask you this, Mike. In your opinion, where do teams go wrong in developing their web strategy?
A few things come to mind. First, basing strategy on a lack of data or bad data. And what I mean by that is, even in the presence of good data, which, I would say is a good balance between quantitative and qualitative, it's being confident that you have people to analyze and interpret the data, first and foremost, and being able to tease out the actionable insights that will help inform your decision-making. Another thing that comes to mind is not putting the users first, or at least having them part of the conversation. So, there's every organization, at different levels of UX maturity. And, do you remember, Craig, the 6 levels of UX maturity from Nielsen Norman, where...
Yes.
Yeah, stage 1 is an organization that's absent of UX, and it goes all the way to stage 6, which is an organization that is completely user-driven. Even if you're at the lower end of that scale, good web strategy should include users as part of their strategy. And if you want, if you want to be successful, period, I think they should definitely be a part of your strategy. The last one that comes to mind is not thinking big enough. So it's what this means is having a vision for where you want to be 3 or 5 years out, not just the current year. You know, making sure your web strategy aligns and scales to that.
Got it. These are great points. I'd love to expand on them. Could you dive deeper into the idea about not thinking big enough?
Yeah. So I think back to a quote that I saw by Richard Branson that reads something like, if people aren't calling you crazy, you're thinking big enough. The way I see it is customers have really high expectations when it comes to digital experiences. And so sometimes you just have to make bets on where you think the tech is going to be. Competition, as you know, is fierce out there, and tech and UX have become differentiators for many. It amazes me though that, you know, we work with so many folks and we're, you know, in the year 2024, and there's just so many companies that feel like they've, you know, fallen behind with respect to both of these areas. So when I say think big, a lot of what organizations should be thinking about are actually table stakes. You know, they need to think past a year or two, like I was saying, and start thinking about where they want to be without being bogged down by the constraints. Because, you know, everybody does have constraints, but they really need to establish that vision or North Star of where they want to be. And the organization agrees on that vision, then you can work on the impediments that might keep you from getting there. But otherwise, you're just incrementally inching forward, and that approach does not scale, and it just may not be enough to survive out there.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I made some notes here that, you know, thinking big in terms of 3 years out, when we talk about a North Star, the reason I feel like that is so important is, you know, the average tenure of a CMO is typically around 3 years. The average corporate website, not average, the corporate websites in the B2B space typically get redesigned every 3 years or so. And if you're not casting your vision and setting your goal out that far, then when you start looking at doing a work back or a roadmap, you're always going to be aiming short of that.
Yes, sir.
And then I think the other part about thinking big, and you can correct me on this, but a lot of times when you're working in a corporate environment, you start getting institutionalized to all the boundaries and the constraints that you have to work within. And so your expectations get shrunk. And so your ability to think beyond that, I think, gets really impacted. So those are two things I took down from what you were saying.
Absolutely.
In those cases, things like that, how do you help teams expand their thinking?
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, you know, organizations, they use external agencies or consultancies like us, even when they have their own design teams. You know, the rationale is that agencies and consultancies aren't jaded or institutionalized, like you were just saying. You know, they bring a fresh outside-in perspective, and, you know, we're just trained to think big. But ultimately, it's really a partnership between the client and the agency. The clients are the subject matter experts, you know, while we provide the framework, the experience we have working with others, and, you know, the methods to help tease out what we need. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think there's two or three main points about using external resources. So we did a panel discussion with four leaders in the product and UX space, and all four of them, including yourself, when I asked the question, did you feel like you were able to have more impact when you were an external consultant or as an internal FTE, 100% of you said as an external consultant. And when we went around the panel and asked why, the common thread was, once you're in a corporate role and you're kind of building your career path, you start thinking about things in a more safe way, or thinking about it more, you know, about the negative impact that you might have if you make a mistake. So having that consultant or agency come in where their measure of success is whether the project is successful or meets the outcomes that are measurable it's a lot different mindset. And then I think the outside in perspective allows for creativity and fresh perspective, like you said. I think about it a lot where our own personal consumer experiences drive what we expect from any digital experience that we interact with, whether it's a enterprise tool, a website, a CRM, you know, an app. And having that outside in perspective of working with end users in different industries or different surfaces and bringing that into a solution really helps to have people think outside the box. So I definitely agree with you on those.
Yep. Good points.
So you said two other mistakes teams can make when developing their web strategy are basing the strategy on bad data or a lack of data, and then not speaking to end users or customers. I'd love for you to expand on these two as well.
Yeah. So let's take the first one, unreliable or no data at all. So, you know, how can you create a solid strategy with no evidence to back up your decision-making? You know, we've seen the full spectrum of how much data is collected by companies, but even companies who collect a bunch of data rightfully admit to us that they have no one to interpret what it means. Or in many cases, this critical data point or that one is unreliable. So look away, right? Don't make too much of it because of, you know, maybe how it was set up by their IT or their developers. I know you've heard that, Craig, a lot. But even if yes. even if you had good data and the resources to analyze it, there needs to be great collaboration between the data analysts and the website team or the product team and the UX team, so everyone is in alignment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, there's so much data available, and it's teasing out the actionable insight that you really want from it. That I think is the art to the science. So then how do you help them find the right data and tease that out, tease out the right insights to inform their strategy?
The data folks need to focus their efforts on the questions that the data can help answer. So oftentimes when assessing a digital experience, UX designers or researchers will, you know, often list out questions based on their observations. So for example, you know, our users, you're looking at a web page or landing page, and you're asking yourself, are users distracted by this particular module that seems to be just breaking the flow of the content on the page? Which when you click it, because there's a CTA attached to it, it takes them away from their primary action. So you might note a question of, is this why the conversion rate is so low? Or in another example, you know, you'll want to know how many users are using the internal search on your website, and you know, what are the keywords that they're using? Because is there any correlation maybe between this behavior and statistics behind that and the low clicks that we're seeing in the primary navigation? Those are questions that, again, that, you know, when you go through a website and you observe these things, you really need data to help answer these. It's these thoughtful questions that will help translate data into strategic decisions that can improve the overall user experience and help meet business objectives. Now, for the second part of your question, not speaking to the users or customers, I think it goes without saying that if you're not involving the key component to your business, which is your customers, you're setting yourself up for failure. Similar to what I was just talking about regarding data, customer needs, wants, demands, or desires, they're just more data points that you should be using to help inform your decision making. An organization should be regularly collecting these insights as they often change. And, you know, this could be sending out surveys, conducting one-on-one interviews, maybe mining product reviews, or, you know, any other feedback mechanisms that you have. But companies that have a customer-first approach have a proven track record of success. What would you say to that, Craig?
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you on the customer or the companies that have customer-first approach seeing results and having success. And, you know, it's interesting to me because when you think about a CX, a customer experience program, you know, the three core elements to have are the voice of the customer, the personas, and the buyer journeys, but not just have them, but have them updated and fresh. And, you know, a lot of times I think companies go through the process of, you know, building the personas, building out the buyer journey, and then they have some sort of voice of the customer, whether it's NPS or some sort of a survey mechanism out there, but they're not connected. They're really not capturing information that's showing real sentiment. You know, a lot of times I think you're incented to show positive sentiment. And in the end, that breaks, you know, the data is not correct. It's just not accurate. And, you know, the way I look at data, or the way we look at data, is, you know, the quantitative data will show the signals and trends, but the qualitative data, talking to people, will tell you the why of that human behavior. And understanding their mental model and what they're trying to accomplish and how they're looking at things at a deeper level is really how you tease out those insights. And so I think that what you said there is really spot on. You know, as people are thinking about building out their strategy, looking at that playbook or their approach as a checklist of things to do, it's really learning more about, you know, once you know what your goals and objectives are, really learning more about your target audience or your personas, your prospects and buyers, and what it is that they're experiencing currently with your site, and then how to improve those things to then create a better outcome. So, so I think you're spot on with all those things. Now that we've talked about, you know, again, grounding your strategy with that evidence and where people do run into challenges, where teams run into challenges, I'd love to talk about, you know, UX strategy and web content strategy, and how are those two interrelated?
Mm-hmm. Well, in short, web content strategy is deeply interrelated with UX strategy. Let me try to separate the two out real quick. So web content strategy focuses specifically, I think, on how content is used to communicate and engage with users to meet both user needs and business objectives, while UX strategy, which, you know, is broader in scope, focuses on the holistic interactions between the user and with the company's product or service, making sure that there's consistency, there's cohesiveness, and, you know, aligning users' needs with business objectives. So you can see where the overlap and distinctions are.
So then from your perspective, I'd love to hear how the work of creating the UX strategy and the web content strategy can build consensus for the web strategy.
Yeah, so if we start at the beginning, you know, when clients come to us, they typically have an outline for their web strategy, which, you know, they walk us through in those sales conversations. And in the web strategy portion of the decks, there's typically a gaping hole where UX and web content strategy goes. And that's the reason why they come to us. So it's through our process and our methodologies that we help them, quote unquote, build a case, if you will. Just like a lawyer collects evidence to build their case, we build our case by laying the groundwork for defining goals and objectives and collecting data around users and their behaviors. This evidence, or, you know, research and data-driven insights, is the objective reasoning that the UX and content strategy is based on. What do you think about that?
I love how you use the metaphor of building a case. The evidence comes from the facts, the research, the analysis, and insights that inform the recommendations. And if you think about it, just in a checklist, if you will, even though this isn't, but, you know, goals and objectives, those are facts. Personas are backed by qualitative and quantitative research. The buyer journeys are, again, backed by research, quantitative and qualitative. And then reviewing the current state, whether that's the content audit, the analytics, the UX review, allows you to then you do a gap analysis to see where there's gaps in achieving the goals and objectives based on the personas, their mental model, and where they are in the buyer journey. You know, one thing I know that we typically deliver as part of this is a recommendation for IA and navigation that's backed with research using card sorting and tree testing, and then envisioning key pages in a critical flow so that they can start to buy in or start to envision the future. And then all of that is wrapped up in recommendations for UX and content. And so I love how you talk about it as building a case, because really they're able to take away this deliverable, you know, a report or a deck that then they can take and incorporate the rest of the web strategy components and then build out their greater strategy. Yeah, this is really good stuff, Mike. Any final thoughts?
It can be a big effort, definitely, for companies to take on. But again, I think with the right partnership, with the right guidance, it's not impossible to get through.
So, Mike, you know, the process that you laid out and the areas of focus that you laid out in terms of getting to the UX and content, web content strategy, through that process, you're really able to start gaining alignment, right? Which is one of the biggest challenges with large enterprise or enterprise in general, and because there's all this internal politics, if you will, between the product team, the marketing team, the portfolio team, the brand team, etc. And as you've gone through this numerous times, do you feel like a company could do this internally on their own, or is there value in having an expert come in and guide them, at least provide the framework, maybe lead the workshops, maybe build out the report of findings and the recommendations, and then pull in members from the internal team, the FTEs, to help fill in the gaps and then really teach them a new way of doing things?
Yeah, that's a great question. I almost feel like you kind of answered your own question there. But, you know, I'm a little biased. Being on the side of the agency and consultancy, I feel like we play a huge role in helping clients achieve what they're looking for. This is not a small undertaking. There's a lot of work here for any organization to take in-house. But again, I do want to stress it is a partnership. But I think, to your point, the biggest value that organizations have when working with an outside agency or consultancy is being that neutral party, because there is a lot of internal red tape. There's a lot of politics. You know, different groups may be having, you know, different visions for what their product or service should be. And oftentimes it is the UX strategy, the content strategy, and all the groundwork that we put together in this package that you keep referring to, but it contains all of the evidence to help them make decisions, sound decisions, not just subjective ones. So I really do feel like there is a ton of value bringing an outsider in. And to your point, we can't do it alone. You know, the companies we work with, they know their product, their service well. Having them augment, you know, our flow, and we augment their flow in order to achieve that vision is, I think, a requirement throughout. So that's my thoughts on that.
That's great. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a partnership where you're working side by side. And the client, the marketing leader, is really helping to orchestrate, working with the internal teams and the external consultant to really get to the end goal of creating a solid B2B web strategy that's going to help them achieve their business goals and objectives. So, Mike, that was solid guidance. I mean, I think I'm going to listen to this one over and over, because I'll learn a lot every time I listen to it. And I think marketing leaders, again, in my opinion, should leverage UX to help do the groundwork for building their web strategy, you know, focusing on that, gaining clarity around the business goals and objectives, defining the target personas and buyer journeys, and then building out a UX strategy and web content strategy in partnership with your internal team. If you have any questions, you know, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on LinkedIn or go to our website at uptopcorp.com. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for today. Join us again next time as we explore innovative approaches to enhance your products and services, optimize your customer interactions, and ultimately drive success for your organization. Tune in, take action, and design your way to success. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Results by Design. If you liked this episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are also playing on all your favorite audio streaming podcast platforms, so stay connected and join us for the next one. Results by Design is brought to you by UpTop. Our mission is to equip business leaders like you with the knowledge and tools needed to leverage UX methods and strategies to achieve tangible business outcomes and create lasting value. Whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting to explore the world of UX, Results by Design is your go-to resource for unlocking the potential of user experience to achieve remarkable results. Tune in, take action, and design your way to success.